Amen. I love that song. It's probably one of my favorite songs that we do here at Crossroads because it is so much of a challenge because the life that we live and the society that we live in says magnify yourself, build yourself up, and follow your heart. And you can be what you want to be. And when we sing Christ Be Magnified, it puts all of the attention and all of the focus on Jesus. And so I just love that psalm. And let's just go ahead and mark it down. We'll sing that every single Sunday and right before I preach because that just amps me up. I love that psalm. Psalm 119 this morning. Psalm 119. It is finally here. And after about 7 years worth of messages, we have finally reached the mountain, which is Psalm 119. The highest peak above sea level is Mount Everest. It stands at 29,031 feet, 5.5 miles above sea level. Located between Nepal and Tibet in the Himalayas, it was named after Sir George Everest, a British surveyor. The first people to climb Mount Everest and reach the summit was Edmund Hillary and his Tibetan guide, Tenzing Norgay. They climbed it together in 1953 and hold the record together because there was a guide and a hiker as the first people to ascend it. Since early this year, 2025, over 7,200 people have successfully climbed Everest, and about 340 people have died trying to climb it. It has a 1% death rate, yet it doesn't stop hundreds of people every single year from paying Dan Hayden $40,000 just for the opportunity to climb Everest. So if you have $40,000 just laying around and you want to do something fun, that's what you do. But people look at Everest as a challenge, and that's what we see when we come to Psalm 119. It is a mountain of a passage of Scripture. And over the next 7 weeks, we will climb the Mount Everest of the Bible together. And they all focus, when you look at Psalm 119, all but three verses of the 176 verses in this one chapter deal specifically with the Word of God, reference the Word of God. All of them except three. And this is something that so many people have tried and they've looked at it and said, man, that's just too big. I'm not even going to read that chapter. I'm just going to go right over. I'm going to go right over to Psalm 120 and just skip it completely. But so many people have tried to live their lives without applying or following the truths of this book. This is a big book that has a lot of things. But when I look at my life and I say, man, how am I going to live my life? If I take this book out of the equation, there's a verse that talks about that. It says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. If I take the Bible out of the equation of whether or not I'm going to live my life according to its pages, then the only other option I have to live according to is myself. And it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man. I think I know what's right, but what's the end? The end thereof are the ways of death. Nothing that I can accomplish leads to life. And that's why Jesus says, I am the life. I am what we need. So how do we climb a mountain like this and live to tell about it? Let's look at Psalm 119, verse number 1. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. 176 verses, and we've read six of them. But how do they apply to our life? Let's pray together and then we'll dive in. Father, we thank you so much for your word and how even the larger passages of Scripture Lord, they still apply to us today. Help us to climb this mountaintop. And Lord, it's not about having a mountaintop experience per se. Lord, it's about asking, how does your word apply to us? And how do we live according to your truth? Lord, I ask that you please speak to my heart. Please cleanse me of any unconfessed sin in my heart and life. And help me to be clean this morning as I preach your word to your people. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they don't know that they've been forgiven of sin, Lord, please show them their spiritual need today and draw them to yourself. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Please help us to live out the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down three thoughts this morning. There are focuses when we think about what we're supposed to do when we read a passage of Scripture. There are things that we say are priorities in our life, but we need to have the right focus on those priorities. We have to have the right type of priority. So number one is a focus on priorities. This passage of Scripture begins with having the proper focus. And as the psalmist is giving us, he gives us a couple of those priorities. He starts, number one, by keeping his way. The number one priority that we have in our life is to keep his way. He begins the psalm the same way as the very first psalm, Psalm 1, verse number 1, where it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The word blessed. Now, it doesn't mean what we think it means. You know, hey, say, I live a blessed life, or I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. You know, we hear the song on the radio. It doesn't mean in the Bible what we think it means today. We look and say, man, look at all of the blessings that I have, and we start calling out things. In the Bible, the Hebrew word esher means to be happy, to put a smile on our face. And so when we look at Psalm 1, verse 1, in that context, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In Psalm 119, verse number 1, happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse number 2, happy are they that keep his testimonies. So we see number 1 right out of the gate that we are to focus on keeping his way, our priority, number 1. But this is something that doesn't happen natural. This is something that we have to work at. This is something that's not going to just automatically take place. It takes effort on our part to walk in his way. But this is not something we do half-heartedly. At the end of verse number 2, he says that seek him with the whole heart. He doesn't just deserve a part of us. He deserves all of us. We serve him with our whole heart. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, in verse number 30, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, and all thy strength." The most important thing in our lives must be our relationship with Jesus. The most important priorities, that comes before the relationship that I have with my spouse, the relationship that I have with my kids, with my coworkers, with my friends, with my family. It has to be Jesus. He has to be first in all things. Henry Blackaby said, "Jesus taught that your highest priority must be your relationship with him. If anything detracts you from that relationship, that activity is not from God. God will not ask you to do something that hinders your relationship with Christ." God will not ask you to do anything that hinders your relationship with Christ. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, God told me to do that"? If it draws you closer to Christ, maybe he did. If it's drawing you away from Christ, that's not God. He draws us to himself. And even in verse number 4, it says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." It requires effort. And we should be focused on him. So the big question right out of the gate is, are you? Do you have the proper focus? Are you focused on him? He says that we're to keep his way. But not only that, number 2, this psalm shows us that we know how to worship. It's knowing how to worship, our priorities. There is a reaction to my decision to prioritize him. Look at verse number 6. then shall I not be ashamed. Hey, think about following Jesus Christ. We have nothing to be ashamed of when we follow Jesus. Oh, your pastor, I don't want to tell people. That might bother somebody. Why? We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We don't have anything to hide. Romans chapter 10 tells us, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hide, nothing to be afraid of. But it says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. When I make this decision to keep his way, it's going to focus my priorities. See, our worship is a result of our focus of the relationship we have with him. Thomas Merton said, we may spend our whole life climbing the ladder of success, only to find when we get to the top that our ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. Think about that. We've spent so much time focusing on, man, I just got to succeed and I got to win and all these different things. But we can spend our entire lives and get to the end of it and say, what did I accomplish? Yeah, money in the bank, but who do I have around me? What sacrifices do I have to make to achieve greatness in the eyes of the world? Is our worship focused on us or is it focused on him? And you know, true worship begins when I realize that I am nothing and he is everything. And I cannot survive without him. In verse number 7, we find another one of those I will statements. Remember we talked last week about I will. What is your I will? In verse number 7, he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And then he says, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. See, as there is someone we can look to, somewhere we can go to, when I see inconsistencies in society, when I see them in my own life, when I struggle, when I fear, and I can go to someone who's the same at all times, no matter what season I'm in. And the thing is, that is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. We might not like the seasons that we face, might not like the trials we have to endure, but our God does not change through the seasons or trials of our lives. He is consistent all the time. James chapter 1, verse 17. We read that first part of the verse, and man, it's a great verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, which is wonderful. But what about the back half of the verse? With whom is no variableness. You know what that means? He doesn't change. He's always the same. Neither shadow of turning. Not only does he not change, there's no potential that he will ever change. He's always going to be the same. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So can we worship the one who doesn't change even in the hardships of our life? When we make this decision that we're going to live for him, we're going to serve him with our whole heart, we're going to keep his way, and we're going to know how to worship him, that's not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. But we have to have the right priorities. There's a focus on priorities. But then we see in verse 9 through 16, there's a focus on purity, not just our priorities. The life of someone, this writer is now focusing on what it takes and our choices that lead us to continue following him, this path of righteousness, or what leads us away from the Lord. He uses the life of a young person, someone who hasn't been scarred by sin, someone who hasn't been destroyed by choices that they've made that draw them away from the Lord. They don't have all the battle scars that a lot of us have in our lives because of poor choices we've made. And he begins and he says, all of this comes back to his word. You know, think about it like this. If all the scripture you had to live on was what you had memorized, how much of the Bible would you have at your disposal? There is still an emphasis in the Bible on putting God's word in our heart. We do that through memorizing scripture. I've been with people, spent time with preachers and church members who that's a great part of every day of their lives is committing scripture to memory. Our former pastor's mother was 93 years old. and come to church. She's still alive, by the way. She's over 100 now. And every single day, a part of her devotion, she memorizes new scripture. She has entire books of the Bible memorized. And that lady walks with Jesus, and it's obvious. But if you and I had to live off of just the scripture we had memorized, what would that life look like? You know, that's not something, oh, I'm too old to do that. I don't have that kind of memory. Here's the thing. We remember where stuff is in our house. That song comes on the radio in a store or in a car, and we're like, oh, man, and we sing word for word things that we've memorized. What's 2 + 2? Don't say 5. There are certain things that we have memorized. It can be done. And if you want to do it bad enough, you'll do it. We see there's a focus on purity, but it begins within. Think about verse number 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is it possible to keep that path clean for a young person? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. The life of one who chooses to live according to his word will be free from sin. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but that does mean that your life won't be known for sin. Yeah, you know, we all know people who always, man, if there's a wrong choice to make, we know somebody who's going to make it. Man, that person, they never do what's right. They always do the wrong thing. Why do they do that? Because they don't spend time in God's word. God's word keeps us from sin. Imagine how one day of your life would be different if you said, you know what? Today, every decision I make, even the thoughts that I think, are going to be filtered through the word of God. How would your life be different for that day? What would your schedule look like? What would your routine look like? How would we talk? How would we act? How would we think? How would we communicate with others? What would our spirit be if we said, everything I do is going to be filtered through the word of God today? It would influence everything. It would guide us, the places we go, the things that we purchase, the words we say, everything filtered. And that's what the psalmist is challenging. He's saying that is how we stay clean, is we let our life be filtered through the word of God. Hey, when that's our focus, it changes everything. Think about the heroes of the Revolution. If you were to go to Colonial Williamsburg, you would hear about a guy named Patrick Henry. You know, Patrick Henry was a born lawyer. In just 6 weeks, he convinced the state of Virginia to allow him to be able to take his bar examination. 6 weeks and a stack of books, studied to the point where he could get his license to practice law. And in just 3 years, he tried over 1,000 cases. And most of them he won. Over 1,000 cases in 3 years. When the British imposed the Stamp Act in 1765 on the colonies, Patrick Henry lost his mind in a good way. You know, he began speaking against Great Britain. And he said this in Richmond. He said, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. If life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. There is no alternative. He's saying if I have to surrender all of my decision making and the end result is peace, but I have no control and no say-so, that's not peace. It's chains. And that is how we have to live our life. If we get peace at the sake of chains, is that really peace? Think about it like this. If we live our life at the sake of surrendering, walking in the Word of God, is that really living? Is that living if we have to give up so much? You know, it was just 5 years ago that we saw people give up living for the sake of conformity. It wasn't that long ago, church, when the church was deemed unessential. And if we give up our liberty for the sake of conformity, is that really liberty at all? Numbers chapter 32, verse 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, God speaking, save only Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. How would you like that description attached to your name forever? They wholly followed the Lord. Everything they did was following me. That's a pretty big statement. But are we putting His word in our heart in such a way that it guides our steps? Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us enough light to take our next step. But do you know yours? Do you know what your next step should be? We see that it begins within, but number two, it works its way out. In verse 12 through 16, he says, Blessed art thou, O Lord. There it is. Happy, O you, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. It doesn't just start in our hearts. It works its way out in our lives. He says in verse number 13, he says, With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He said, I'm going to rejoice because of your testimonies. Have you ever been to a ball game? And have you seen a fan that's painted up? They've got a letter painted on them. They've got half their face painted with the team colors. You know, those people don't watch the game in silence. They're just a little bit animated. And typically, those are the people that end up on TV. If you want a tip, there you go. All right? But they end up on TV. Why? Because they are a picture-perfect image of what a fan should look like, at least in the mind of the team. You know, they are rejoicing over their cause. Shouldn't we rejoice over ours? Now, I'm not talking about wearing paint and all that stuff. That's what I'm not talking about. You know, please don't spell out my name, you know, on your body. That would not be good, okay? Or Jesus. I don't know that that would be appropriate either. But think about someone even who can't speak. Think about someone who is deaf, who can't hear. You know, they might not be able to hear, they might not be able to speak, but they can still offer up praise. Just like you can. All of us are capable. See, we don't just praise Him with our lips. We praise Him with our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We don't just say it, we live it. Everything we do. But then he talks about his mind and the ability to remember. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I wonder at times if we have short-term memory loss when it comes to the blessings of God. Short-term memory loss. See, the best way to keep God's word alive in our hearts is to test it and find it faithful. Is to test it. Think about David. When he was on the run from King Saul, and Saul was focused on eliminating David and killing him. He had multiple chances, but David also had multiple chances to kill Saul. Multiple opportunities and make all of his problems go away. But he kept saying this phrase, I will not put my hand on the Lord's anointed. I will not touch him. Because he's God's chosen one for this season. Where did David get that thought? Was that something that David came up with on his own? Was that something that David just thought of? said, this sounds good. I'm just going to start saying it. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 22. Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Where was that phrase found? In Scripture. That verse caused David to change what he wanted. He said, God said it, so I won't do it. God has made it very clear. He was in a situation where he was tested. He was pressured by his friends and his companions to do wrong. And he said, because of God's word, I won't. You know, how often do we stand strong because of God's word? Hey, it's in the Bible. It's clear. It's black and white. There is no wiggle room, so I won't do it. Or it's clear. It's black and white. It's in the Bible. I will do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit. That's a fun plug for Makaira, guys register. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is what fights off temptation. God's word is what keeps us from sin. God's word is what keeps us clean. But are we using it? See, there's a focus on priorities. There's a focus on purity. And then lastly this morning, in this psalm, right out of the gate, there's a focus on pride. A focus on pride. As we honor the Lord, as we honor His word, it forces us to look within and do something about ourselves. He talks about in verse 17 through 21 that there is submission needed. We all need to get to the place where we submit to His authority. Look at verse 17. Deal bountifully with, what's he call himself? Thy servant. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Now if, we'll talk more about this next week, but if David is writing this, he's the king. He's not a slave. He's not a servant. He's the ruler of all things. He is the ruler of the most powerful nation in existence at this moment in history. If David is writing this and he says, I'm a servant, that's all I am. You know, the highest title that you and I could ever achieve is the title of a servant. The greatest thing that could be ever ascribed to us is that we are a servant. Think about what Jesus said in the parable of Matthew 25, verse 21. He said, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Could there be any higher accolade that we could hear about our life? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, servants, that a man be found faithful. And the only way that we'll be found a faithful servant is to submit our lives to the master. Submission is needed. And the psalmist desired to be faithful so that he could hear, well done. Verse 17 and 18, he said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Because of submission, I get to see things that I wouldn't see otherwise. But did you know that submission to the Lord also keeps us from seeing things that Satan wants us to focus on? When I submit my life to Him, it keeps my mind fixed on Him. When I submit to Him and I spend time in His Word, it focuses all my attention and I'm not able to see the things that Satan tries to draw my attention away with. How about later on in this psalm? In verse 165, when he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And there's a lot of things in this world that are offensive to me. Things that I see, things that people say, things that people do. But when I spend time in his word, I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for those things. And when I spend time in His Word and I'm allowing His Word to guide me, I'm not affected by those things that Satan wants to distract me with. That's why it all comes back to this book. It comes back to His Word. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hey, what is that mind? It's a submissive mind. It's the mind that is the mind of a servant. Hey, did Jesus ever display that? Not my will, but thine be done. In the upper room that night with the disciples at the Last Supper, He's washing their feet. A servant. A servant does that, not a Savior. Not a Lord, not a Master, not a supreme leader. But that's who Jesus is, and that's who He calls us to be, church. Servants. Servants. Are you serving? Are you submissive to Him? That would mean that when He speaks to you about a new direction, a new plan, or something He wants you to do, there is no second guessing. It's yes, sir. You know, guys, when your wife tells you to do something, the first thing that you should say, yes, ma'am. Why? Because you're afraid of that lady. Afraid of what she could do. Afraid of what she's capable of. Afraid of what she might say. And we use that in jest, but that's how we should respond to the Lord. When He speaks, yes, sir. What you say, I will do. Hey, church, He doesn't have to audibly speak to us. He's already spoken to us. But are we spending time reading what He says? Are we doing anything to spend time in His Word? And it's not responding based on somebody else's response. I think we understand that. Well, when they do it, I'll do it. God, when you get a hold of my husband or my wife or my mom or my dad's heart, then I'll do it. No, 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 no. We don't wait on somebody else to respond for us to respond. What if they never do? Does that hold us back from serving the Lord forever? Gary Thomas said, a Christian is never dependent on the response of others to grow spiritually. It's our own heart's decisions that matter. Are we responding to Him? It's easy for us to wait on others, but He expects us to respond individually. The submission that's needed, and then lastly in verse 22 through 24, surrender is noted. Look at verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He said, Lord, remove this contempt, remove this problem, this reproach, because of the decision for me to follow you. It takes us all the way back to verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, keep this away from me. There is a battle for your heart, and there's only so much space. But there is something always trying to oppose your heart. You know, I think we've all heard the saying that oil and water don't mix. But you know, you think about oil and what it does, and oil is pretty thick. And its texture, its consistency. But you know, when you think about water, water isn't that thick. It's not like it's dense. And if this lid doesn't come off, this is going to be a really short illustration. When we think about water and think about oil and how they mix, you know, even though they mix together, and man, look at them. They're right there together. But if you let it sit long enough, it divides. Think about our life, and there's so much space that you and I have, so much margin that we have to live. Something is going to control your heart. He is the living water. And the more we infuse, see, I could fill this entire vase up with water. You know what's eventually going to happen? The oil that's sitting on top is going to overflow. Why? Because the space has been filled up with water. It has no room for anything else. Once the water rises to the top, it'll push everything else out of the way to be filled up. That's what our life should be, church. We have no room for anything else. And where does that kind of life begin? It starts in this book. It starts when I read His Word. And if you don't read the Word of God on a consistent basis, that's where you begin. Hey, every single day, I'm going to spend time. It might just be a chapter. It might just be a couple verses. I'm going to read until God speaks to me, and then I'm going to write that thought down, and I'm going to carry it throughout my day. I'm going to apply it in my life some way, shape, or form. That's how I'm going to start. If you read every single day already, maybe it's reading more. Maybe it's sharing it on social media. Maybe it's sending it to somebody. Maybe it's texting your devotional thought out to other people and your friends list. It could always be more. But it's got to start somewhere. Living our life for Jesus doesn't happen apart from this book. This is His Word for us. But do we view the Bible as this great book that, man, I could never do that. I could never read that. You know, is it like Mount Everest to you? You know, we think about Mount Everest and how big and how beautiful it is. I know that it's beautiful. But I also know that I'm never going to have my name on the list of people who have climbed Mount Everest. It's not going to happen. I have already decided I'm not going to do that. And sadly, there are people in churches today, they've already made up their mind. The Bible's too big. It's too impressive. I don't understand it. And I'm never going to read it. I don't know what it means. I don't understand it. So why bother? Hey, church, that is Satan's voice in your mind, not God's voice. And today, maybe your decision today, maybe your next step is saying, hey, every single day, I'm going to spend time in His Word. I'm going to start right there. His Word is so big, and yet it can meet me right where I am and show me how He wants me to live and show me things to help me and encourage me and guide my life if I want it to. And the question today is, do you want it to? Because if you want it to, then there's a choice that you have to make. And there's an application that is required when it comes to spending time in His Word. Let's bow our heads for prayer. This morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the greatest need of your heart is to have a relationship with Him. More so than spending time in His Word, there needs to be a relationship established first and foremost. Would you ask yourself the question, do I have a relationship with Jesus? Has there been a time in my life where I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior? Is Jesus my Lord? Has that been accomplished? Maybe you don't remember. Maybe you don't know that that's taken place in your heart. Hey, this is the most important part of the service. It's when we respond to His Word. His Word speaks to us. And if His Word is telling you that there's something missing in your heart, hey, He is the answer. He's what we need. We don't need more money. We don't need more accomplishments, more fame, a better title, a better office. We need Jesus. And that comes from placing our faith and trust in Him. Has there been that moment for your life where you've said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that if I stay the way I am, I deserve to be separated from You because of my sin. But thank You for dying on the cross for my sin, to pay my sin debt. Please come into my life. Lord, I need You. Please forgive me and be my Savior. That's what salvation is, folks. It's not a list of do's and don'ts, rights or wrongs. It's a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's your need. If you do have a relationship with Jesus, what's it look like? Are you spending time every single day in His Word? If you're not, would that be your spiritual need today? Has there ever been a time when you've been baptized, you've taken your next step following salvation? Are you serving? Are you staying away from sin? Are you allowing His Word to influence your day-to-day decisions? If not, would you ask Him for help? Would you ask Him for guidance? Would you allow His voice to speak to you? We need a heart of worship. That's what He wants. But is that what we want? Right in the quietness of this moment, we're just going to have a reflection time. Miss Pat's already playing. Would you talk to God about what your need is? If you need to talk to somebody, our personal workers are standing back. We'd love to pray with you. Whatever your spiritual need is today, He wants to meet that need. Is that what you want? We'll pray together in just a moment to dismiss. Father, Your Word has been presented today. Lord, it's up to us to respond to Your Word. Please speak to hearts as only You can. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the things that are around us. Help us to not think about the response of someone else that would hold me back from doing what You desire for me. Lord, please speak to my heart. Please draw me close to You. Lord, help that to happen through Your Word. Lord, thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank You for the Bible. Lord, millions of people around the world today don't have one copy, don't have one page, and yet we have them all over the house. Lord, we ask that You please convict our hearts when it comes to Your Word. Help us to see the importance of spending time every single day listening to You as You speak through Your Word. Lord, please arrest our attention today and help us to prioritize, focus on our priorities. And the first one is our relationship with You. Please do a work in our hearts that only You can do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, if we can be a help to you after the service or answer any questions for you, pray with you. Our personal workers are in the back and would love to pray with you, answer questions. I'll be in the lobby and be happy to help you any way that we can. If you made a decision,